Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Weed Say Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Bellstar,
and the Cannabis Kid. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona, and the world at large.
We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call, 646-915-8421. Email thctucson@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, visit us on MySpace, or tweet with us on Twitter.
Our sponsors for Weed Say Wednesday are Growers House, Accurate Med Testing, EasyMarijuana.com, and Culture Magazine.
We would like to thank Tumbleweed Health Center and Studio C for hosting our show every week, along with the lowest price certifications in town. You'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things educational related to medical cannabis.
Visit Tumbleweed Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedhealthcenter.com.
And remember,
be smart, be safe, and educate.
All right.
Good morning, Bellstar.
Welcome to the bait. Good morning, Cannabis. Did you hear that? it's a little better than the actual intro. Welcome to Weed Say Wednesday, everybody. Bellstar and Cannabis Kids. We have some special in-house guests this morning. Di from Holy Smoke.
Tech guy is here.
Anita Amnesia. Too much to say. Oh, I miss you, patient with your silver sisters here. Welcome, April 23rd. We made it through 420. Woo! And Easter fell on the same day. Telling Jesus is rising to joints this year.
Uh-huh.
How'd it go? How was your 420?
It was good. We spent it down at the U of A, actually.
We sure did. There was a 420 awareness festival. Mm-hmm. I like that because there was a lot of awareness down there. There were a lot of organizations. Tumbleweed Health Center was down there. We had some Holy Smokes down there.
Holy Smokes was down there.
SAFE was down there, mm-hmm. Southern Arizona AIDS Foundation. Desert Relief was there, one of the dispensaries. We had AZ for Normal there. Safer Arizona was there with Robert Clark, who's heading up our petitions to get medical cannabis on the ballot. There were quite a few people there. For an Easter Sunday at the university, it was a pretty good
quiet in the morning. We had gotten down there. It was a little bit quiet.
Yeah, they showed a movie, half-baked, and then Gallagher didn't open. It was at Gallagher Hall. My bad. Sorry, guys. Really excited for Gallagher to smash watermelons on the U of A campus, and it just didn't happen. So next time, maybe. He'll hear the show and go, what? I missed what? what's going on?
The code.
All right. The code. We'll give him the secret code right now. What's in the news? You know what we just saw in the news, popped up in our little email, was that Arizona Supreme Court rules that pot metabolites don't prove if you have a DUI. So let's read a little bit about that for just a moment. I think that's the code. It says here, Arizona Supreme Court, this is big stuff here, motorists who have used marijuana cannot be charged with driving under the influence on that basis alone. Even if some traces of the drug are detected in their blood, the state's top court ruled Tuesday. Arizona Supreme Court justice disagreed with the Maricopa County Attorney Office, which argued before the court in November that drivers whose blood tests reveal the presence of an inactive marijuana metabolite known as carboxy-THC can be prosecuted for driving while impaired. And apparently, that's not the case anymore. You have to be able to prove impairment.
So is that going to be with a DUI test? You know, a sobriety test?
Most likely. They've got a bunch of different tests out there right now, but the quote-unquote impairment challenges.
Touch your nose with your eyes closed.
Yeah, the whole thing. I've had to do it. I'm sure most people have been, well, no. No one here has had to do the silly little test.
Really?
No, I'm the only one in the room who's done the test three times.
I've done the test two times.
Ah, then we have someone pleading the fifth. Uh-huh. And and you've done the test?
I've done the test.
Yes. Did you pass? I have to ask. I I passed all three because I will say I think I just scared myself. Twice in Napa when I was
one time I didn't.
One time I didn't.
None of this was recent. This was all over 10
Mine was very
or 11,
recent.
12 years ago.
And I'll tell you, after just partaking and being pulled over, you will, it scares it out of you, I think.
Right out of you.
Right out. Nothing. Sir, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Your manners.
What are those butterflies? They turn into beetles?
Oh.
In your stomach?
Ow.
Yeah.
Ow, that's not nice. Okay, well, on that note, Beatles. We need a Beatles song. Where are our sound effects? Hey, what flavor, holy smokes, you got going on over there? I've got a little pipes piece.
You got a little pipes piece. I got Angel's Gift.
And
I'm doing Angel's Gift, too.
And Buddha's Mirror.
Buddha's Mirror.
And mine also has a touch of cannabis.
Ooh.
As I am a patient, I can put this little magic flower in my tincture, in my holy smoke pen. I have a mini holy smoke pen. So now that we're chatting holy smokes, let's just launch on into our very special long-awaited interview with Di from Holy Smokes.
So
welcome,
glad.
Di.
Yeah.
Yay. Thank you for actually being here. That's so much more fun.
Yeah.
Tell us about you, about Holy Smokes.
Well, Holy Smokes is here all the way from New Zealand, but really Tucson is... It's home. And we started as a New Zealand company 3 years ago before we decided to call it Holy Smokes, looking to connect people around the world with terpenes and terpenoids. And of course, cannabis is a plant, amazing plant. It has so many terpenes and terpenoids. I usually use the word terpenoid just because people often think terpene, they think of turpentine.
Yeah.
And they think, oh,
that's
a that. Varnish thing.
Ah,
you can't drink that.
You're smoking
herbs. Or whatever. Well, of course, none of the plant extracts generally are meant to be drunk. Certainly not herbs and the strong aromatic plants that we use for cuisine for culinary purposes. Generally, they're meant to be boiled into your soup, or they're meant to be just smelled and appreciated like an animal who would just nibble at the edges of a plant, and otherwise enjoy having it surround in your space. So that's what aromatherapy is about. In the cannabis world, I personally was asked to assist in the formation of Cannabis Standards Institute, which is an umbrella organization purposed towards laboratory analysis of cannabis so that doctors could actually know what's in the cannabis. Well, you have cannabinoids, which are a form of complex terpenoids. And that's something that now pretty much everyone in the medical world realizes. There's different types of cannabinoids. THC is not the only one. CBD is now quite well known as the one that sort of balances out the THC. And CBD has generally more sedative and relaxing aspects, for instance, whereas THC tends to be more energetic for most people. Well, terpenoids in general have a tendency to be anti-anxiety, sedative-oriented. So CBD in some ways is a really, really important representation of the plant world of terpenoids in general. THC is very special and quite unique. Most of the other cannabinoids have comparable aspects to the essences of the aromatic plants found around the world. Once laboratories start getting into that fact, that really there is a synergy of terpenoids in this amazing plant of cannabis that can be used for medical purposes, then the labs start looking at all the other terpenoids, of course. Occasionally, some strains of cannabis would have remarkably high amounts of specific terpenoids, like myrcene, that then work with, in this case, say CBD, as a way to As a way to ameliorate some potential nervous problems, epilepsy, for instance, or just nerve conditions that I won't try to get into. I'm not a medical doctor, and I'm not going to try to get into all that right now. And just to say, neither is Holy Smoke sold as a medical product
right.
and whatnot. But it is completely herbal. It is all about plant extracts, and we use the culinary famous plants that people around the world know and love. So we're talking about rosemary and vanilla.
Lavender.
Lavender, yeah, that's a great example. Mm-hmm. Lavender, just as an example, works very well with myrcene.
Lavender has myrcene in it.
Yes, and the linalool and
right.
other similar terpenes that people associate with lavender combine synergistically in such a way that if you, say, aromatically burn some essential oils of lavender and some other plants, it will be relaxing.
Calming. They use it for headaches.
That's it.
Okay,
yes,
so that's why.
It.
They put it in
baths. Because of the terpenoids, the myrcene that's in it.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Now back to the consideration of how to really use cannabis most effectively from a medical point of view. Well, most doctors have really minimal information about the plant. Some of it is because, particularly in the United States, whole plant extracts are generally not focused on as medicinal. So herbalists have always had that issue here, less so in European or Indian or Chinese regions, for instance. Because there's tradition, say, in Poland about using herbs medically, and they've never lost those traditions. Well, of course, we here in the U.S. also have had those traditions, generally more stemming from the English tradition. Down here in Tucson, we have a lot of influence with the Spanish tradition. And it's not just across the border where we have a strong respect for herbalists, but it's even here in Arizona, say, in California, and
yeah.
so forth.
Yeah, Tucson's very open to that. We have our own natural herbal seed, local seed shops, and they're very big in the herbal remedies.
And back to earth, I think.
And there's a respect that if you go wildcrafting and you pick specific herbs from specific regions, they will work in a way that the same herb from another region or your backyard will not work.
Uh-huh.
And that's because the different species and the different versions of an herb will have different chemistry in it.
Right.
So even though they'll generally have similar chemistry, lavender, as we know it, will be similar in general, unless it's a unique type of lavender.
Right.
But the amount of the terpenes all vary within lavender. So Bulgarian lavender is particularly well known for these soothing properties. And another example would be chamomile.
Mm-hmm.
If you get what's called German chamomile, it will have that relaxing, nice effect that everyone who drinks chamomile tea loves.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get what's called Roman chamomile, it will not have that same effect. And so it's really, herbs are quite complex, which is how come we use them in such cultural ways, that they're so important for our diets and, of course, for animals in general. Once we no longer are smelling plants, we lose the benefit of Mother Nature and so much of life. Living in a plastic space ship somewhere just simply will not be the same ever as living in a forest. There's no way to imitate that or to regain all the richness of nature. Well, most of that richness really is the terpenoids that are coming out of the plant in with the oxygen. We animals have co-evolved with plants like this since they started making terpenes.
That's why they say stop and smell the roses.
Oh,
makes you feel good.
It's really,
I try to do that. We go to a little church, for on our little dog's walk, and they have great rose bushes.
Yeah.
And I try and smell them every time. It always makes me feel so good.
Yeah. And, of course, everyone knows that humans don't have a sense of smell like most dogs. And we know that some humans have a better sense of smell, where they can make big money just going around sniffing wine as their job.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there are the chemists whose work is to imitate those smells. And I always use McDonald's because, exposés have been done about just how complex the synthetic chemistry of making that hamburger and those french fries be so desirable that the very core of your being
wants
to eat. It's like an animal.
Yeah.
It really knows what it needs to go out there and eat. But when you take the food in, the effect is not what
the smell is.
Yeah.
Or what
the
you're
human
thinking
organism
is
actually.
Right.
But it's too late to turn back then. You have a whatever in your hand, you know, a handful of nuggets.
Too late, America.
Some shoestring fries with
mm-hmm.
red goo on it.
So holy smokes are all organic plant extracts.
Okay.
It's a vegetable glycerin base, which is perhaps your most standard common plant extract. The medical world commonly use vegetable glycerin for the base for inhalants, for aerosol inhalants. And it's just something that's very, very studied, very known, and generally safe to breathe in. And that's how the medical world sees it. Holy smokes has been identified, of course, with e-cigarettes, but we don't have any nicotine. We don't use propylene glycol, which is the other alternative. Also FDA approved, for in the medical world for its own usage or for the beauty and health industry and the food, world, etc. Now, vaping, as it's come to be known, vaporizing a base that has some kind of flavoring in it or some kind of plant extract such as nicotine is all the rage, not just in the United States, but around the world. It was an invention by a Chinese pharmacist about almost going on 15 years now ago. So it is really new in that way. If I recall the story right, his father died of lung cancer, but don't quote me on that because I may not be recalling that. But this pharmacist definitely saw tobacco as being a problem for the Chinese, who just took it up suddenly in a generation's time. Everyone was smoking all of a sudden in China. So he cleverly came up and patented a little device that can vaporize propylene glycol with some nicotine in it, and it looked like a cigarette, and that's what everyone thinks of when they think of e-cig. You buy these now, of course, at convenience stores and whatnot, and big tobacco has gotten into it, et cetera, et cetera. And FDA here in the United States still hasn't passed its regulations about vaporizing in this manner, e-cig regulations. It's been seen as a part of the tobacco world, and the FDA is trying to regulate it accordingly. But then you have another segment of the vaporization, I won't call it industry, although it very much is that now, but we'll call it a culture, and that is cannabis. Hmm. People have been vaporizing cannabis simply as a healthier way to take in your medication.
Right.
And every doctor will say, marijuana can be dangerous because smoking anything is dangerous. Well, yeah, smoking anything that has carcinogens and combustion of plant material has its negatives. There's no doubt about that. When you burn any plant and you breathe it in, you will be getting some kind of carcinogens. That's just the reality of burning plants. However, if you vaporize the terpenes out of the plants by just heating them up to the point to where the essence, this largest chemical class of all plant life, really of all organic life, are these terpenes. And they all have different vaporization rates.
Mm.
And generally they're below the combustion rate of the plant. So if you just heat the plant up to a certain level, the terpenes evaporate, they vaporize.
Right.
But the plant doesn't combust. And so the cannabis users realize this is so much healthier. Why not do that? And then it takes care of this issue that smoking weed is bad for you. Well, come on. All right, then just vaporize it and get the chemistry that your body needs. Now again, we cross into the medical side. Well, who needs THC or who needs CBD? Well, that's what the medicine of plants is all about in general, not just cannabis. Who needs to breathe in rosemary with their chicken soup? Isn't just putting the chicken in there, boiling it and drinking it, isn't that enough? Mm-hmm. That'll get rid of your cold, according to, you know, many cultures. Well, actually, you put in all the right herbs, and then the synergy happens. Mm-hmm. Then that will help ameliorate your cold.
Right.
We have to respect the plants, folks.
We do?
We have to.
I agree. And you were saying, you know, who needs CBD, who needs CBN, if you find out, you know, what these particular cannabinoids do in conjunction with the terpenes. But CBD acts as a sleep aid. It fights free radicals in your bloodstream. It controls pain, suppresses muscle spasms, slows inflammation. And if you didn't know this about THC, it might, yes, it is the active ingredient that creates your high, if you will. But it also is very good with pain, helps relaxation. Suppresses pain from nerve damage. That's really important for a lot of patients. Mm. Reduces the risk of nerve damage. It controls anxiety, which a lot of people might find interesting, seeing as though it can create a high. Controls certain cancers. Eases nausea. Slows inflammation. Another one that fights free radicals in the bloodstream. Encourages eating and appetite stimulation. So there's a lot of other things that THC does,
yes,
other than create high and energy. And that's the importance of what's happening right now in society, in cultures around the world, is we're studying this, we're coming up with guides that say, hey, this is why when you use lemon skunk versus OG Kush versus Blue Dream or White Widow, why you feel a certain way.
Mm-hmm. It is the synergy, or what's now called the entourage effect, of the terpenes. Now, here's how a plant works. Well, let me just give a little bit more background.
Okay.
With the chemistry of plants that seem to have some kind of effect, notable effect on humans. Because not every plant does, you know. You stick your nose into one flower, it's really strong, and you feel really wonderful. Now, another one looks beautiful, but nothing.
Or doesn't smell very well.
Or yes, or
in fact, the opposite. Yeah, right. It may affect you.
The number one form of drug that is used recreationally are the alkaloids. And I'm going to give a couple examples. Caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
Nicotine.
Mm-hmm.
Morphine, which is not a recreational drug, but unfortunately comes out, you know,
there's
certainly has a huge medical, you know, usage. All of the codeine of coca, et cetera, et cetera. These are all alkaloids. Alkaloids tend to be single molecules. They're something you can nail down. Nicotine, here it is. Not easy to synthesize, but you can do scientific testing because it's one molecule, basically, and that's what Big Pharma wants to do in order to try to measure out and test which extracts of plants it might be able to synthesize, for instance. However, plants generally don't work that way when it comes to terpenes. They always produce an entourage, a group of terpenes, and that's what makes up the whole plant extract. It's in that synergistic effect, the entourage effect, that we get the benefits of the plant. Now, this is also
like
true with cannabis. Yes, people have just synthesized even THC, which is not easy to synthesize, but or just try to form medicine that is only THC.
Now, this is the spice and...
No, there are
synthetics, okay.
In that way, cannabinoid analogs and synthetics. But in this case, I'm referring to the THC,
okay,
which one can legally get for medical conditions in the United States, for instance. And yet, if you ask those patients if that THC works as well as a whole plant extract or concentrate of cannabis, inevitably, the patients will say, no, it does not. But, well, why not? Because it's in the entourage of terpenes. It's in the complex synergistic makeup of a plant that humans have been breathing in, relating our whole systems are part of this as mammals.
It's our buildup.
And isn't it interesting how we, how all the different systems relate to all the different plants just per se, and then cannabis. Some people really like the effect of sativas. Some people really don't. Some people like limonene, like you'll find in the lemons and the silvers, and some people don't. You know, I mean, it's very...
It's like food.
It is.
And to jump to Holy Smokes, which does not have any cannabis in it, it only has the common herbs in it, right? The common herbs and spices. So once I realized, and basically in an advisory role to... My background, just to say, for everyone out there who will not be familiar with me personally, my background is Chinese medicine. And I'm a Tai Chi master and all that sort of stuff. I went from physics as a university student into Chinese philosophy. And because of my own physical ailments that genetically I had, once I got into the Chinese philosophy, and because I practiced martial arts, I got into the medicine. It was a natural sort of progression. So I became a yogi in a Taoist tradition, became a monk at 20, and still am a monk at 57. My life has not so much focused on herbs when it comes to my own Buddhist Taoist practice. It's focused more on breathing, yoga, And all the forms of that people might be familiar with the Indian side of it, but the Central Asia and Chinese side of it, it's a bit more esoteric, and people tend not to be so familiar with that stuff. But that's what my life is about, and I've respected nature and the necessity of good food, good drink, getting away from synthetic compounds and really imbibing nature as a holistic way of simply functioning more fully as a human being, right? I've not been a cannabis user. I mean, my households, my students, so forth, so on, I was never someone who suggested drugs in general. I mean, I would suggest people get off of sugar, caffeine, everything. You know, I was much more like your rather straight-edge vegan type through most of my life. Now, on the other hand, I completely have known about and could see the benefits of all plants, including cannabis. And the idea of saying that they have no medical benefit is just so absurd.
Right.
I mean, as someone who's studied Chinese culture and lived there and all this, and same with India, you can't hardly say that the herbs have no benefit. Come on. You know,
they work.
Everyone
they
knows
work.
Saffron has
well.
Its
right.
place in India.
Mm-hmm.
Or peppers, or excited
turmeric.
Right.
Turmeric,
great
right.
example.
Very powerful.
Sure. And Chinese pharmacopoeia is over 3,000 herbs that are quite well studied. The universities in Shanghai have been breaking down all of their herbs into specific compounds and then really studying them from a very fastidious scientific point of view. Some of it is to see what they can synthesize, yes, but mostly it's from an organic point of view. How can you recombine these herbs into better medicine than what had just traditionally been done? One has to respect tradition because that's tried and true. You know, people do these for generations and generations and they see effects. One can't just blow off all historical usage
of
herbs
years,
as,
right.
as so-called wives' tales is that what, all of the wives and the women on the planet Earth are actually dumb? Oh, come on, give me a break. That's our conceit. It's just mind-boggling, you know? And just like one can't say all medicine men of any anywhere outside a New York hospital are on some kind of weird religious, nonsensical, drugged-out trip or something. That's just so disrespectful to cultures and peoples and all of our history as human beings. So instead, what scientists really need to do, and my background is originally science, and that's how come I've advised it with the lab side of the cannabis world, and this involves politicians in the United States, involves Democratic Party head honchos, that kind of thing, who really are getting their heads in the right place. How do we use botanical medicine properly? And how can we bring it back to the people?
Right.
You know, going over to, say, Eastern Europe and telling the Hungarians that they should just drop all of their botanical medicine, well, how disrespectful is that? We should be learning from the Hungarians. My Vietnamese friends who commercially grow famous lingzi mushrooms, for instance, that have a lot of known benefits. They're number one in the Chinese pharmacopoeia. There's a certain type of mushroom. The Japanese know them as reishi and so forth. Hungarians have picked this up so strongly. They've integrated into traditional European medicine. And that's what we need to see more of. Now, cannabis world finally is getting its chance to take this king of plants, but not just skip the THC. My God, hemp has so many uses.
Yeah.
We all know that now. You know, we knew it was great fabric. Now we know it can make great buildings, hempcrete, et cetera.
Right. Yep.
It's porous. It doesn't mildew. It's super great insulation. It's lightweight. So easy
long
to make.
Lasting.
You can, yeah, the whole thing.
It's like it's, so, you know, the list
goes on
and on.
It is a great plant. But, of course, so are many other plants.
True.
And we need to respect them all and integrate them, right? Along with the science of them, along with technology, along with just really good modern approaches and designs. This is what the organics world is about right now. Mm. Now, here, getting back to the Chinese pharmacist, he comes up with this super simple invention, but it's rocking the world now. Not just because you can smoke nicotine, however. All right, how come we're not seeing organic vaping around? I will be honest. Holy Smokes is a first. It took a lot of research, and it took a good solid 2-3 years of really investigating, trial and error, et cetera, doing the due diligence needed so that we could bring the plant world, the plant flavors, and back to the people in a way that they could access easily for a reasonably small technological buy-in. Plant essences are like commodities. Everyone respects them. For hundreds of years, there's been these marketplaces that value them. They're for and there's different grades. If you're in France and you want the top grade of rose, you know what that's going to cost you to put in your perfume.
Mm-hmm.
There will be multiple grades according to how much money you have to create your perfume or to create your body lotion or to create your food additives, right? Huge industries based on this. If you just put aside synthetics, which tend to be a lot easier to create, although the amount of money that goes into researching them is not small. McDonald's just didn't have a little lab where they, you know, said, hey, this smells pretty good. Let's chuck it into the hamburgers. It took a lot of money, a lot of chemists, a lot of professionals whose whole job is to smell, to come up with what that corporation deemed was its perfect additives, right?
Mm.
And then even further, how to trip up the body's appetite suppression mechanisms. So that it has to, it can never have enough. It wants to eat more. Now that tends to be what I see as a synthetic world of chemistry, trying to take advantage, let's say, but keep in mind, I'm a monk. I might have a company called Holy Smokes with my good partners, But even that, frankly, the money's pretty much going into nonprofit endeavors. So we haven't been pushed to just get this out there to make the money and woo-hoo, vaping is all the big deal, etc. My approach has been very careful. Let's respect the plants, just like an herbalist has to respect the plants. These plant essences are so famous to ourselves, even menthol.
Mm-hmm.
They do have effects.
Mm-hmm.
Cancer has a stronger effect than
menthol.
We've been
using Vicks for years.
Yeah.
From that on our cancer.
My, it's from the eucalyptus.
That's right. Yeah. They don't even know why.
Yeah. Eucalyptus.
Yes,
yeah.
Eucalyptus is a great
it's
example.
It's so much better.
But see, now we know why Vicks worked,
well,
quote unquote.
Yes,
but that's why people
yes.
go back to that. They didn't know why, but it just worked, and it was because
Vicks is mixed with petroleum.
Well,
there you go.
And that's where.
I was going to say, my retired Air Force father, bless his soul, now dead, he used to sniffle, which a lot of servicemen did. Coming up, maybe they picked up in the Korea War where he served, I'm not sure. But he used to use those nozzles that you put up your nose,
yep.
and they had camphor in them. They
yep.
weren't just mentholated.
Mm-hmm.
They had stronger stuff. Well, camphor can be addictive. And a lot of servicemen, that was their, so to speak, drug of choice. Certain places, like Muslim countries, decided not to allow camphor anymore. So it's a highly regulated terpene, basically. Whereas menthols, all right, you none of these plant essences are made to be swallowing, number one. You can do little bits, yes. You can boil your herb or you can fry it up and cook it with your spices and throw your rice in and it'll be delicious. And if you put enough pepper, you will feel the effect, as we all know. And some people love that effect. Others just can't believe it. They sweat immediately or whatever it may be. It makes them uncomfortable. No, Thai food needs to have a scale that you suggest. Do you want mild or hot? Otherwise, you are not going to enjoy your dinner.
Had those meals. Crying the whole time.
Mostly the plant terpenes were produced, as we now are very familiar with in the botanical science world, to take care of plant stresses. 400 million years ago, they started developing, they kept away the insects, they dealt with environmental stresses. Terpenes equals, for all the botanical world, how to lessen stress. Now, 200 million years ago, mammals started engaging with these plants and terpenes. They were not separate. They did not live off in a little space colony. Those little mammals had their noses, their heads, their bodies surrounded by terpenes. They were breathing in oxygen, but you know what? They were breathing in terpenes also. We've done it. We've never not done it. Now personally, I realize that some listeners may have different views of evolution. And so, you know, I don't want to press on that. But my own personal view, and I'm a monk, I am a spiritual man. I was raised to be a Catholic priest. And I respect Christian tradition and understandings and really love those biblical spices and herbs. And diet for that matter. There's a lot of wisdom in that Bible and the old Judaism.
Adam and Eve lived in a garden.
Oh my God, that's right.
You can't argue
they
that
did.
Herbs and flowers have
herbs
always
and flowers.
Been.
Is that the only thing they did not have in that garden? Was it just a fruit tree?
Yes.
Come
and
on,
a lawn.
Man. They just happened to pick
there
the apple.
White picket fence, a lawn, and an apple tree.
So let's just then agree that regardless of our originations and how we human beings have grown, being in and amongst those plants has been a really mighty important part of it. And we need to get back there, folks.
Mm-hmm.
We are so living. I've lived years in China and I've lived years in India. And I've taken some damage points from that, just from the pollution.
Mm.
My eyes got affected, etc. And now the pollution's worse. Every year, so much worse. Even New York's been having problems again, etc. We can't be living just with carbon output from burning stuff. Even though it gives us electricity, we can run an air conditioner, and we can run an air purifier. But that's not how humans are meant to live. Right. We were meant to live with our hand at least a little bit in the dirt, our nose a lot of bit, into the vapors, the aromatics that's coming off of our shrubs.
The whole planet.
In our kitchen, mm-hmm. and the whole planet, mm-hmm. indeed. One thing that MIT's been studying the last few years is the pinings that are being put off by the Appalachian Mountains and Blue Ridge Mountains. Mm-hmm. Now, it turns out studies were being done about this warming of the atmosphere in the United States. And there's one area above those mountains didn't seem to show the same temperature warming, the same temperature changes. So then biologists were like, well, why in the world would this be different than everywhere around it? And then they realized it's the pinings. There's so much pining coming off of those pine trees. It's the most prevalent, one of the most prevalent, anyhow, of terpenes on the planet are a whole set of what we call pinings. And a type of that can be, so to speak, boiled down into terpentine, yes. And no, you don't just want to go run out and start eating pine needles to get the benefit of pine needles. No, but that's not the same as going and taking a nice walk through the mountain pine trees. Oh, my goodness, why do you feel so good when you do that? It's not just the elevated air. It's right. not just the sublime oxygen. It's those terpenes that are in the air. It's the terpenoids that affect you. In fact, they affect Mother Earth herself. I don't want to get too much into a guy in spiritualization, but look, James Lovelock does not have his head in some sort of disconnected space. That man understands that we live in a holistic world and scientifically need to be studying it that way. And so likewise, the environment is affected by the plants. Yes, we know if we just cut all the Amazons, we'll have less oxygen. That is an important thing to be aware of. But how many people are talking about all the less terpenes that will be in the air? We now know that they affect weather patterns. I say that, but the studies are ongoing. It's a hot subject at MIT right now. Anything involving plants and the environment and humans' interaction with plants is controversial. It's provocative. Well, that's so senseless. My goodness, how much more natural can you get? We ought to be wondering about the provocativeness of eating and breathing plastics all the time, Sherry. I mean, that's the body wasn't built to be doing that.
Well, and I think that's why people started making incense. It's because they make things that they smell that make them
so true. And a really nice incense doesn't have much combustion.
Natural pinion, cedar, pine, incense it's all natural. And you just burn it, makes you feel like you're in a forest, which is what the feeling I love.
I've met many people who poo-poo the aromatics industry, whether that's perfumes or aromatherapy. All the girls are there, the old women or someone with their little bedside aromatic something or another. And the synthetic world, unfortunately, has permeated the essential oil industry so much that people aren't even sure if they're actually smelling rose or some cheap synthetic version of rose. And of course, that's how it is with a lot of incenses. But the really nice incense is pure terpenes. Minimal combustion is just enough to, with kind of a resinous material, say the expensive Japanese sticks, there is not much smoke that gets into the air. There is a lot of pure essence of plants that, yes, it's strong and it affects your mind, and thereby we're going to take resin, say, if I'm a Catholic priest, and on very special holidays, say as we go around to the stations of the cross, and bless each station in our life and each station in our development, going through suffering, going through death, rebirthing into the Easter we just had, to me as a monk is like so important, you know. That is the basis of life. That's the message. of Jesus. I'm not going to get religious on you all. But that's really where it's at.
I think you did.
And why would we then take our censer and put these
aromas.
Classic frankincense and myrrh aromas on the congregation as we go through each of these stations, because it teleports your mind. Because your mind is back there with the three keys all of a sudden.
Uh-huh.
You're back there, really, the plant's life and the natural great cycle that, hey, we do the same. We are organic entities on planet Earth, and we're going to go through that great cycle just like all the plants do. And if we forget how to cultivate, how to appreciate those plants, how to imbibe them, however that might be, whether that's through smelling or ingesting, then we have just lost a big part of our sentient beingness. So this really, come on, Americans. You have to all embrace this. It is American chemical companies tend to go the other direction.
And plants are, you know, they have always been. I would just look this up online. There's a great Robert Downey Jr. movie where he's a physician for King Charles II, and he saves the people's lives by using botanicals.
Downey's pretty cool, but you know,
he uses plants, and he's the one who was sought out to help the king, because he's the only one who knows how to combine these herbs in such a way to heal people.
Mm.
He's the healer. You know, of course, it's Hollywood. There's romance and all that stuff, but it's awesome.
Huh.
Just for that aspect alone, you should see it.
That is pretty cool.
But they've always been, and yeah, we should. So where do you get your herbs, your...
We source pretty much fully in Oregon. We moved our production facility from Tucson to Oregon, and we may start back up here, because I just want to say some of the really important herbs, Mexico has heaps of them. But the thing is, we are only organic. We use certified organic plants. It's so important, and I will connect that to the cannabis world. If testing isn't done on molds or pesticide, you know, they might not be totally harmful, and people are like, oh, don't fret it or whatever, but it's important to know. If you're going to use a medicine, you want a clean medicine. You don't want a tainted medicine.
Yes,
amen
to that.
And so it's the same, in my opinion, with the flavorings. So I'm not here to bash the e-cig world. And a lot of them think that holy smokes is like, oh, you don't like nicotine and blah, 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 and you guys shouldn't even be around. And we've gotten some pretty harsh little YouTube.
No, there's always naysayers.
You know, there's always your haters and whatnot. People just don't understand.
Yeah.
But hey, people out there who are smoking their e-cigs, how many of those synthetic flavors have been tested? Used to be the FDA would go through food additive synthetic colorings and actually say, is this one carcinogen or not, et cetera, et cetera. There's no money for that anymore. So yes, the FDA will form regulations about the e-cig world, because the Chinese are cranking out any synthetic flavor they come up with.
Cheesecake.
And pushing it into the market. It's really hard to say what the effects are. It's like aspartame.
Yeah.
It's like synthetic sugars.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out they can have hormonal influences, et cetera. Now, I'm not here to say all plants are safe. No. And yes, they can be medicinal.
True.
And yes,
they can
please,
be
people, don't go out and eat those pine needles.
Right.
But please, do sit on
do
the pine tree sometime this season and really appreciate it.
Breathe
that.
It in.
Yeah. Amen. That's how it's in.
You don't eat the pine
trees. Smell the roses.
But you can burn the sap, though. I love to collect sap from different pine trees and stuff and burn
them.
Yeah. Natural incense. Natural incense. Pull it right out.
Wow.
Let it dry out. Little.
But you see, it's hard to vaporize resins unless you do have that heated coal or something.
Mm-hmm.
And let's look at another industry that's very different, that's quite traditional. And that would be the hookah world. People look at these hookah pipes and they say, how can they be breathing in that? The tobacco must be killing them. Look at all that smoke they're breathing out. If you took a cigar and breathed in that much, come on, you'd be like, dizzy as all get out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's mostly not the tobacco leaves are bringing them. They're vaporizing them. A good, old-fashioned, well-put-together hookah is tobacco leaves soaked in vegetable glycerin that was had soaking in it, plants, spices, citrus peel,
cardamom, vanilla bean,
yes, etc. Yeah, lavender. Exactly. And that's the old Mideastern way of doing it. I've spent a fair bit of time in Constantinople vaping with the old guys. I say call it vaping, but hookahing or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's basically vaping. And they would laugh at this American synthetic additive stuff that, you know, all the youngsters are doing. Because it takes a lot of work to take vegetable glycerin, soak the plants, respect the process. Often women doing that. You know, it's a really important part of the culture. Now, you add that with some molasses and then soak the tobacco in and then put the colds just right. What happens is the tobacco just vaporizes some nicotine and its other terpenes,
along
with vegetable glycerin and the herbs. And what people are bringing out is pure vegetable glycerin vapor. They're not breathing out smoke. If they're breathing out smoke, the hookah was not put together correctly,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's an age-old tradition that the modern world isn't really respecting as much as it could be. And vaporizing is exactly like that. It really is, minus the tobacco leaves.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically it in a nutshell.
The hot coil?
Yeah, there's a hot coil now, and we try to use, we call it medicinal grade vaporizers. I personally have worked with Kanger, one of the top Chinese companies, Kanger Tech, to promote this because terpenes don't work well with plastic.
I don't think anything works well with plastic.
No, if you want glass and Pyrex and really clean metal that isn't going off gas because of chemicals.
Something
that
that's not going to absorb anything and then mm-hmm. put it back into your lung that's synthetic. You know
I made a case of Kanger Tech in China that... being my background in Chinese medicine, knowing what's going on in Shanghai right now, that their own medical doctors are looking to have clean medical-grade technology over there. So just go that direction. Even if they think the Americans have no interest because they just want the cheapest nicotine and synthetic flavoring and e-cig that you can buy at 7-Eleven or Circle K. That's not where this industry is going.
No.
Let's make clean stuff that you can work with good old organic flavors with. Enjoy it recreationally as a lifestyle, but also get some benefits, whatever benefits you can get from plants.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're going back to organic because it's what has always been. You know?
Yeah.
And it's just, my friends have always teased me about being organic and trying different ways and doing this stuff, and they always say, well, what's organic? It just doesn't have any of the bad stuff in it. I try and make it as simple as possible. It's just pure.
Yeah.
Pure, which is what you've got here with your organic plant extracts.
I just want to read some of the flavors off that they have
and
here.
And I just have to say I love your description of common herbs and spices. Mm-hmm. People just need to know, just everyday
culinary herbs and spices.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what flavors you would find in food. So some of the formulas that Holy Smokes has right now, they have 15. There's Shakti Rising, which is grapefruit, black pepper, and clary sage. Sinbad Swords, which is ginger, peppermint, and caraway. And we have Fast Master, which is one of my favorites. It's clove, cinnamon, and ginger.
Mm.
You know, really, the cinnamon is really delicious in it. Coming Utopia, anise, tarragon, and chamomile. Sacred Sunset is peppermint, lime, and nutmeg. Wise Fool, bergamot, geranium, and hyssop. Buddha's Mirror is marjoram, turmeric, and cinnamon. Lone Tree, spearmint, rosemary, and basil. Monk's Prayer, ylang ylang, frankincense, and orange. Aphrodite's Lips, patchouli, allspice, and jasmine. Gopi's Plain, fennel, spearmint, and mandarin. Pipe's Peace, parsley, sage, and orange. Mary's Milk?
A really delicious one, by the way.
That's my favorite. I think it might be the orange I like.
No.
Hey, I will say, because I formulated these, that we don't list all of the flavors. They are our secret formulas. But these are three prominent flavors in each of them that, you know, people
that really come out
with.
The high tones.
And it does, for instance, so then Aphrodite's Lips has a flowers. Well, florals are very strong for most people and have to be treated with a lot of respect.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now and then people say, but how do you know it's safe to vaporize this or that? What's true, vaping technology is new. Universities have not been running all these studies, even though they have studies on the terpenes and on the herbs. And there is aromatic and aromatherapy studies done, but this particular technology, it's new. And holy smokes, is leading the way, yes. We're trying to do it as carefully and respectfully as we can. That's about all we can say right now, other than to encourage everyone to be doing this. And how to come up with the blend so that they can easily vaporize in off-the-shelf, decently made e-cig components. That's a trick that only holy smokes has come up with, frankly, right now. That's our IP, and we're just going to keep running with that as much as we can. But we are seeing a future where many people do this, and hopefully they will use certified organic flavorings. Again, that's why we're in Oregon, because there's so many herb farms doing this there. They're certified organic. We know the people. We can distill there, et cetera.
You get your plants from the herb farm?
Yes. Everything comes, most everything we have, not everything can grow in Oregon.
Yeah.
But most everything does. Yeah. Mexico could have a huge booming industry with this. Not just because they have the tradition, but a lot of those farms are basically organic. It wouldn't be that hard to certify them. So there's an enormous global industry just in food flavorings, organic, real plant food flavorings added to vegetable glycerin to vape instead of synthetic flavorings. Now, here I'm not referring to how it is going to be used as medicine. I don't really know which countries are going to get to the forefront of that other than India and China. Even European ones, most likely. Very possibly some Latin American ones. The Germans are studying this, just like in the Spanish, just like they're studying cannabis in this way. American universities are really behind the loop. And, you know, I just frankly...
We see that with
cannabis. We're a new country.
So. Yeah, we're a new country.
Is threatened, and yeah. FDA has its vested interest.
Yeah.
In all
you don't want anyone
blah,
to get their feelings
blah,
hurt.
Yeah, I'm not going to pan anyone. And, you know, I'm a lawful man, and I respect that process in any society. I think it is important to have standards, very important in the medical world. You can't ask doctors to just be using plants because it's traditional, and they have no idea what's in it.
That's the truth. They need to study more of it. They've been a little scared, though.
Mm-hmm.
They need to watch registration.
Well,
yeah, we only have a few minutes left. Is there anything you want to tell people about Holy Smokes to wrap things up here?
Hey, we have a grassroots program, folks. I think it's online right now. We've always had a bit of a sales agent program because we're a people's company. We're all good people. And, you know, Waco here, he knows. He's a part of this in his own way. And Tucson's such a part of it. And so is Portland. Portland's been so good to embrace us. We have become quite the phenomenon on the West Coast in the transformative consciousness and festival world. We're getting calls from Russia. We're getting calls from Lithuania, from
nice.
Bulgaria, from all over the world right now who have heard of us. And this is wonderful. I would like to encourage anyone who would like to share the love and the plans to look on our website. There is a button there, I believe, and there certainly will be a more prominent one very soon if it's not already there. That's we call our grassroots program.
What's the website?
The website is holy with an I.
H-O-L-I.
Smokes. DreamWorks.com.
Holy smokes.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of information there.
Mm-hmm.
Do try it. We run regular specials. When you, for those vapors out there, yes, we're twice as expensive as a cheap e-juice. But you know what? We
but
last
10
more
times
than twice
better.
As long.
10 times
and,
better.
Oh, 10 times more tasty. That's not
ten,
a joke.
Yeah,
no.
Definitely.
But it does last way longer.
Yeah.
And you can also get your kits down here at
yes.
the Tumbleweeds Health Center.
Yes.
They have wellness e-kits, which are now featured by Holy Smoke.
Yeah, we've got a great new display.
Mm-hmm.
They're packaged up really nicely now. There's three in a package. There's all the different motifs. Cannabis Kid read off all the different flavors and names that they've all come under, but if you come down to Tumbleweeds Health Center, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103, we're in the back. It's the parking lot over from where we were
gorgeous.
Before, folks.
Gorgeous. You've done so well.
Oh, thank you.
It's just gorgeous.
Awesome. Well, and we love having Holy Smokes here. It's a beautiful product. I love it. I use it. It tastes good. It feels good. I didn't know why until our discussion on terpenoids and myrcene and limonene and phenylene and all the good lenolene in there.
So it's another batch of words
Holy
that we're going to have to
I
learn
know.
About.
Come down and talk to us because Waco Star, who brings us our products, occasionally has classes down here, and he will give samples and demonstrations and talk to you about how to use it, how it's going to affect you, if you want to use it with your cannabis or not, that's up to you. It's beautiful on its own, great with cannabis too. It does help potentiate the effects because of the terpenoids. But you can come down here and get educated, which is the most important thing to do.
Yes.
There are brochures, business cards, there's
lots of information
on
all the products.
Yeah. Oh, it's wonderful. We also have down here at Tumbleweeds Health Center a new product that just flew off the shelf. We do have some candies left. It's Vital V. They're an all CBD hemp product, so less than 0.1% THC. You won't get high, which a lot of people don't want to these days. They don't want that spaciness to them, if you will, whatever the high is for them. They don't want it. So come on down. You can get hemp products. You don't need to be certified.
Some CBDs and some terpenoids.
Yes, and it'll make you feel relaxed and good. Just internal feeling of well-being.
Yes.
Overall feeling of well-being.
Correct.
Also, we got our new logos on our shirts, hats, and some pens. Come check it out. Buy some shirts and hats and sponsor Tumbleweeds Health Center and help us educate y'all. Help keep the wonderful radio show going. We would like to thank Di from Holy Smokes for coming down here.
Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, it's always a blast to have you down here and as a live guest. That's even better. Before this song, we're going to hit the song a couple more times because we're just going to go over. We always do. There's some events coming up, actually. The Folk Festival is May 3rd and 4th, and that's really soon. And AZ for Normal. We're trying to make it there. We're not sure. We keep bugging them down at the Folk Festival. Let us in. But AZ for Normal will be there, and they'll definitely have our brochures there. They're going to be giving out some education down there. And AZ for Normal will also be at KFMA Day with Linkin Park and Sublime. Holy smoke!
Wow.
May 24th at Tino Memorial Stadium. And tickets will go on sale at all Pizza Hut locations.
Nice.
Wow. I was like, no way. Linkin Park, Sublime, more. Oh, my goodness. What a show.
Lots of information about terpenoids. I'm going to definitely have to listen back to the show.
A couple times.
Good information about terpenoids and cannabinoids and how they work synergistically together.
Yeah,
come on down to Tumbleweeds.
Now
learn
you know
a bit
why
more.
You like cannabis.
Right.
Why you feel so good when you eat.
And there's a great little video about terpenoids on YouTube about picking your medication and how you as a human being are attached to different flavors. And smell.
Yes. So check it out. Thank you for listening to Weed Day Wednesday. Always remember to
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.